Going to continue this morning in our series 10-Year Challenge, Who Will You Become? And the inspiration was this thing that went viral on social media where around the new year, the start of the new year, people were posting a picture, a profile pic or a picture from their past from about 10 years ago and then posting a current picture. And it just started to just, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me as I was just looking at some of these. Some were inspirational, some were moving. Some were tragic, and I was just looking at it, and it just began to just become real in my heart that the reality is, hear me, church family, hear me, people of God, for every one of you, the reality is 10 days from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now, you will be different. You will be different. And here's the reality is that there's really only three true outcomes in every area of your life. Every area of your life, there's really only three true outcomes. There's a lot of variance in between. But in every area of your life, in every area of my life, I'm either going to be closer to God, further from God, or stuck where I'm at today. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. And then I just want to ask you, which is acceptable for you? There's only one that's acceptable to me. There's only one. In every area of my life, my marriage, my family, my relationship with God, the calling of God upon my life, everything He's entrusted to me. I'm either going to be closer to Him and closer and more aware of His purposes and His heart and His word and His promises and His power and His anointing and His goodness, His faithfulness, or I'm going to be further away. I'm going to have drifted away, or there will have been erosion in my life, or I'll be stuck where I'm at today. And I'm just telling you, there's only one good outcome. There's only one good answer for me. And I hope that you would say the same is true for you. Come on, people of God. That you want more of God, that you want to be closer to Him. But here's the thing. It requires us to live intentionally. It requires us. I've been sharing what the Lord's been just speaking to me, to us as a church family, corporately and individually, that God's calling us to a year of devotion. And that requires priority. It's about taking all the things that God's entrusted to us and called us to and put in our hands. And it's about prioritizing our time. It's about prioritizing God first. It's about doing what Matthew 6:33 says and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and trusting that all the other things that the world is worrying about gaining and getting and holding on to, that God's going to meet our needs. God's going to take care of us. God's going to lead you. God's going to be with you when we prioritize Him and we put Him first. Come on, that's the invitation of God to you and to us as a church family. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's for you. It's for you. It's for you, a year of priority, a year of greater devotion, of deeper devotion, of growing closer and drawing nearer and going deeper with God. That's the heart of God for you this year. But we have to respond. Come on, when you get an invitation, there's a responsibility that we have. We got to RSVP. We got to respond, and then we got to be willing to show up and do our part. So the big idea is that 10 weeks, listen, 10 minutes from now, you're going to be a different person, people. Based on some things that God's doing in your heart right now, and are you willing to check in and tune in and grab a hold of it and take a hold of it and say, God, I'm not just here because someone invited me. I'm not just here for the music. I'm here because I want to encounter you, and I'm willing to open my heart, and I'm willing to hear, and I'm willing to be alert, and I'm willing to grab a hold of something that you want to do in my life today. Come on, 10 minutes from now, you could be a changed person. Come on, do we want to come together and have just a good church service, or do we want to be transformed by the Most High God? But listen, the same service, same anointing, same everything, same message, and two people could walk out of this place with two totally different results. And it depends on your response, that priority, that leaning in, that willingness to say, God, come on, that's what I want, what He's talking about, what Pastor T's talking about, that's what I want for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. If it doesn't seem good to other people and they want to serve the gods of this world, that's fine, Joshua said. But what's for me and my house, with intentionality, with purpose, with focus, and with priority, we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look up 10 minutes from now, 10 weeks from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now, come on, we're going to be changed more into the image and the likeness and the character and the nature of Christ. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God, and that's the heart behind this series. So I hope that you will show up, and you'll open your heart. You'll trust God to show you some things. Come on, we're going to talk about what God's calling us to, and we're also going to talk about how to get there. Amen. Hey, before we get started, every week I want to just have a little fun with you and just show you some 10-year challenge photos from some of the leaders in our church, some of the people you might know and have a relationship with. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to get familiar with them this morning. I think first we have Terry and Kathy Marshall. Terry serves as an elder in our church. There's Terry and Kathy. Come on, aren't they handsome? And they serve so faithfully, and Terry gives so many hours and time. By the way, they're also so faithful. Every time we have the doors are open for some kind of a prayer gathering, they're there. And come on, they're praying for you guys. They're praying for us. They're praying for our city. And so, come on, one more time, can we give them a hand for the way they serve and just honor them? And then I think we have a picture from just a few years ago here. Look at that. They're babies. Oh, you guys are handsome. You haven't changed a bit. Next, I think we have Chet Kiefer. Chet serves as worship and technical director here at Rev City. Handsome guy. Isn't he an amazing guy? Yeah, come on. We love you, Chet. There he is just a few months ago. Here he is a few years ago. Listen, that's more of Chet than I ever hoped to see right there. I appreciate it. He gives his all when he's leading worship up here, right? I mean, he's moving and shaking. And I don't know that I've ever seen him that far off the ground, though. There's another picture. Come on, that's more of Chet Kiefer right there. He's off the ground again. All right, there's a picture of, there's several church guys right there. This is the first time I'm seeing this picture, actually. That's Chet Kiefer on the right side in the blue shirt. You recognize anyone else there? Those are some other Kiefer boys, and that's Nathan Hammer in the Kansas shirt right there on the left side right there. And that's Jacob Hammer down there at the bottom in the Kansas jersey. Come on, handsome guys, right? And somehow, some way, I actually got a picture of what Chet's going to look like 10 years from now. That's Harrison Ford. He didn't know I was going to do that. You still love me, Chet? Oh, it's fun. We'll be looking at some of those every week. But here's the big idea, guys. 10 days, 10 months, 10 weeks, 10 years from now, you're going to be different. Who will you become? Who will you become? What will your picture look like, and what will it represent? What will it represent about what God's done in your heart, the things he's led you to, the things that you've laid down, the things you've begun to pursue? And we're in a season where, as we go into a new year, a lot of us make resolutions. But I shared with us last week, I believe that many of us, the reason that we're so frustrated, studies show that well over 90% of resolutions, New Year's resolutions, are abandoned by the end of January. And I believe that it's because we make do goals when we really should be making who goals. Let me say it another way. We make resolutions when really what God is after is to give us a deeper revelation. We make resolutions about things we feel like we should do, and it's often arbitrary. I want to lose this much weight. I want to save this much money, and it's an arbitrary thing, and we're frustrated because we're doing it in our own strength without a deeper revelation about the why God would have us to do it. Maybe, just maybe, we would be less frustrated if we didn't focus as much on do goals and we started focusing on who goals. God, who are you trying to make me? As a husband, as a man, as a father, as a leader, as a pastor, as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a servant in this church, as a co-worker, as an employee, as a boss, who are you trying to make me, God? Because when we start to focus on that, the do things begin to flow out of the work of our heart. Come on, the Bible says that guard your heart with all diligence because the issues of life flow from it. Another translation says that it determines the direction of your life. God wants to do something on the inside of you. God wants to, in this series, he wants to show you some things. Come on, when God reveals something, it's not to beat you up with it. It's not to condemn you with it. He does bring conviction, but when God reveals something, it's because he wants to heal something. So come on, let's open our hearts. It's good to make goals. It's good to have resolutions about things I'll do, but can I submit to you, it's even better when we begin to make resolutions and goals and we begin to pursue and we begin to dive in and say and make goals about who I'll become. Who I'll become. Because listen, God has some things for you. God has some things for you. God's not finished with you. He didn't just save you to get to heaven. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says. He's got a hope. He has a future for you. So he wants you to have a vision. A vision is just God showing you a little bit more about what Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has for every one of you and for me, a hope and a future. And God's word tells us about the importance of having a vision. Come on, personally and corporately, to have a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And that word vision is translated vision or revelation. And it says, another translation says that, the New Living Translation rather says, when people don't accept divine guidance, revelation, vision from God, it says they run wild. The NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. God wants you to have a vision. Something that he's leading you to, something that begins to cause you to order your steps, something that causes you to not live casually. When you don't have a vision, a picture of what God's calling you to do and be and become as a man of God or as a woman of God, you live casually. It's like, what does it matter if I make this decision or if I do this sin or if I open that door? But when you begin to realize God's calling me, there's something bigger, there's something better, there's something beyond, there's something more, there's something new, there's something next. Then we begin to order our steps and we begin to say, not today, Satan, because God's taking me somewhere. That doesn't line up with what I'm seeing and hearing and sensing in my spirit that God's calling me to become. Not today, Satan. That decision I used to make over here because I was living casually, living for myself, now I'm closing the door on the devil because God's opening the door to the new life that he's leading me to. That's what it means. Without vision, people cast off restraint. Without vision, people cast off restraint. Listen, the same God that says how important it is to have a vision also says not to worry about tomorrow. He says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Listen, it seems like a paradox. Which one is it? God, here's the answer. It's both. He wants you to have a big vision, a picture, a thing, a dream, something that you're living towards and living to and desiring to become more of God. But here's what he's saying. He's saying that the pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decision. I say it this way, the pathway to the new, the next, the more of God, it's always, it never fails, it's always faithfulness with the now of God. Listen, that bears repeating. The pathway to your life vision, someone ought to write this down, is paved with daily decision. He says, don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today, just focus on today. Because I want you to have a dream. There's some things I'm calling you to, but the way you're going to get there is not worrying about way out here. The way you're going to get there is just worrying about the step I've called you to take. Today. And Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm just catching you up, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I often saw that kind of tied up as just one big concept, but the Lord really began to show me it's two separate things. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows me where I stand, and it shows me where God's leading me to. And both are important. God, to get where you're taking me, to get where I'm going, I got to be real with where I stand today. Your word comes, and it shows me. Come on. I said it last week. It bears repeating. The Bible's the only book that you don't read. It reads you. I read the Bible, and I'm just convicted. I'm seeing everything about God, his nature, and everything about who Christ is, and I'm just convicted of where I stand. It's like, Lord, I'm realizing that there's some places that I currently stand that you're calling me to grow in. So the pathway to your life vision is paved with daily decision. Come on, before we get into Matthew chapter 25, I want to do something. We're going to talk today about stewardship. We're going to talk about make the most of it. Come on, that's the title of my message this morning, make the most of it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, make the most of it. Make the most of it. Make the most of it. Look at your other neighbor who was your second choice and say it again, make the most of it. Make the most of it. Make the most of it. I want to talk to you about stewardship this morning. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. In fact, let's just go there. Let's read it, and then there's a video that I want to show you. Matthew chapter 25 is the parable of the talents. And we're talking today about making the most of it. And we're going to read a lot of it, but just come on, that's a good thing. Reading the Bible is a good thing to do in church, amen? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you don't have it, you can read it, follow along behind me here. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. In other translations, it may say talents, 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent, which was a measure, a unit of money back in that day. And it says, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, go to work. Get to work. Get to work. Get to work. He went to work and he earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master returned from his trip and he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Come on, say his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. And the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on, who wants to hear that from the Lord when it's all said and done? Amen. And he said, you have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many responsibilities, many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Verse 22, the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. And the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Say, many more. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, and harvesting crops you didn't even plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate, and I was afraid that I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. The master replied. He said, you wicked and you lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops that I didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest upon it. And then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a heavy scripture. It's a weighty scripture. But here's the takeaway. God is serious about stewardship. God is serious about you and me taking what he has entrusted to you and to me and turning it into something greater for his glory. God is serious about stewardship. Come on, individually and corporately, in this season especially, as we're asking the Lord to come and shine a light upon where we stand and show us where you're leading us to. In this season, my hope and my prayer is for you and for your marriage and for your family and for your home and for us as a church, that we would take everything. We would say, Lord, whatever you've brought us out of, whatever you've brought us to, whatever you've delivered to us, whatever you've entrusted to us, we want to take it and we want to invest it. We want to treasure it. We want to take it and turn it into, come on, we want to make the most of it. Say it again, make the most of it. Well, so our media team did something. And they produced a video that just highlights a few of the ways in 2018 that as a church family, we endeavor to take what the Lord has already done and what he's entrusted to us and invest it for kingdom impact. And we're gonna watch this video here in a moment. It's about 8 minutes long, so just lean back and just enjoy watching it. Here's what I want to encourage you with is that you, if you showed up, if you served, if you gave, if you were faithful in any way towards the vision and the family of Rev City Church, everything that you see up here is on account of you. Because we're better together. And when we come together, it's exponential what we can do to make an impact in our community. When we come together and we begin to unify and we begin to link arms and we begin to move forward, it's exponential what we can accomplish for the glory of God. Come on, I want you to take a look at this. And as you see it, I want you to celebrate. But then I want you to get ready, because after this video, I'm going to step back to this pulpit and I'm going to begin to challenge us and to challenge you to what's possible in the future. That what God has done in our life, come on, the Bible says that he desires for us to grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And sometimes we're real comfortable and familiar with kind of going from being broke to having a little bit in our account, or being lost to being saved. I'm telling you, God wants to keep doing. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with you. And when I step out up after this video, I'm going to begin to talk to you about how to begin to understand the difference and the contrast between being content and being complacent. I'm so grateful for what the Lord's already done. And in a lot of ways, in my heart, there's a contentment that I have. I could go home happy. But as it is, I'm still standing. And I believe that he'll do what he says he'll do, that he wants to grow us from glory to glory. He wants to take you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. There's something more. There's something new. There's something next. And as we're just endeavoring to be faithful with what he's already put in our hand, come on, let's trust him that he'll do what he says right here, that he'll show up and he'll say, I'm going to give you even more. And that he actually celebrates about that, that he's looking for people that'll just be faithful with the message of the gospel. He's looking for people who will rally together and unify together to make a difference. And he's longing to come and say, no, let's do more. There's more people in Lawrence to reach. There's more people in this region to reach. There's more that I want to call you to do globally on the mission field. There are more mothers that were unexpected pregnancies to reach out to and to gather into this church family and to be a blessing to them and let them know that there's a God who saves and heals and forgives and brings hope. There's more. There's more. Come on, take a look at just a few of the things that God did in 2018. And as you watch, celebrate it, but also ask the Lord to begin to stir in your heart what is possible as we move forward. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Come on, can we stand for the Lord? It's him that did all that. Come on, stand to your feet and just keep giving the Lord a clap. Come on. Thank you, Lord. None of that's possible without you. We're nothing without you, Lord. It's all for you and through you and in you.
Man, come on.
Isn't that amazing? Listen, isn't it cool to take some time and just, we can forget. We can lose track of, we can lose sight of. Listen, there's some things God's calling you to, but sometimes you need to just stop and be reminded of what he's already done in your life. He's led you out of some things that you thought were going to take you out, and you're still standing. Come on, let's remember. It's just so amazing. You take a few minutes, and you put it all together, and it's like, whoa, I forgot about all those ways and all those things that God allowed us to partner with him to accomplish. And here's the thing. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And God's growing, and he's adding to our church family. And in April, we're launching once again a second service to make more room for us to reach precious people in our city with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be able to welcome them. Come on, yeah, put your hands together for that. I talked about it last week, but some of you are hearing that for the first time. I talked about it last week, but some of you are hearing that for the first time. And many Sundays in the last few months, we've been literally out of parking spots in our parking lot. And our children's ministry is bursting at the seams. And we're about to launch the renovation and address some of that and dedicate some space to our children's ministry. But there's no way that we can reach all the people that God wants to reach in our city unless we're willing to dream big and start small. And one of the ways that we're going to start small is we're going to launch that second service. And listen, we can't do it on our own. We need you to step up, and we need you to come, and we need you to see the why behind it. It's not just a do goal. There's a why behind it. We're not just doing it because we need something else to do. The worship team won't be here serving two services because they don't have anywhere else that they could be. We're doing it because we're moved with compassion, and we know that God's entrusted to us to steward the hope of the gospel. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. In your seat back behind you, there's this card right here. You'll either see that side or you'll see this side. And I don't want to spend long on it, but I want to draw it to your attention. Take it in your hands. Put it in your hands. And I want to ask you, if you're currently not serving on a Sunday morning ministry team, in the parking lot, the ushers and the greeters, the children's ministry, the worship and the media and all the things that are required to support the service, the altar ministry team. If you're not currently serving in one of those places, I'm going to ask you to consider stepping up and saying, count me in. Here's the beautiful thing is that now you can come and you can serve one and attend one. You can serve behind the scenes and you never miss a beat with what's going on here in our main service. And I just believe that many people, as we've just prayed about it, we've talked about it, there's gaps that need to be filled, but I believe the Holy Spirit just showed me that people are going to step up and help fill those gaps. And that some people are even going to step up and say, you know what, you can count me in for 3 months, for 6 months, for 9 months. I'll just adopt a classroom for the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service, and I'll just come faithfully to serve those kids and serve that ministry, and I'll serve in one and I'll worship in the other. Come on, would you consider that? Would you consider that? If you're currently not serving, if you're relatively new, come to that luncheon next week and discover how you can get connected and how you can begin to link arms with us to make a difference. Amen? So there's the card there. You can also text SERVE to 30500, and basically the information that's on this card will just come right back to your phone. And you can respond and say, here's how I want to serve. You don't have to know exactly when or exactly how. Just get in touch with us, and we'll follow up with you and help you find the right place, the right time, the right class, the right way for you to help us to make a difference. Listen, what can our church look like in 10 months? What's possible? What does it look like right now? And what can it look like in 10 weeks? What could it look like in 10 months? What could it look like 10 years from now? Come on, what does Lawrence look like right now? And what's possible? What could it look like? If there's an outpouring of God's Spirit through this church and other churches that would call on his name and boldly preach the gospel, what could it look like 10 weeks from now? What could it look like 10 months from now? What could it look like 10 years from now? Is it possible that what LFK stands for today really could become Lawrence for the kingdom of God? It's possible. But we have to respond. We have to respond. We have to step up. We have to take what God's entrusted to us. And listen, as we close here in the next few minutes, I want to challenge you personally with this message. And thank you for allowing me a little bit of time to just brag on you guys and brag on the Lord, everything that he did in 2018, and cast some vision to you. But listen, corporately and individually, God's doing this in our midst. He's calling us to prioritize. He's calling us to deeper devotion. He's calling us to dream big and start small. He's calling us to envision and imagine and spend time with him to say, Lord, what's possible? What could we look like 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now? And listen, I want to encourage you that this call to stewardship, listen, you are an amazing person of God. You were created in the image of the Most High God. And he's made possible for you to be restored to a relationship with him and have full-time immediate access to a relationship with the God of all the universe by the Holy Spirit all the time, real time, present tense, right now. What's possible for you? You are an amazing person of God. You are amazing. But listen, oftentimes when we think about what's possible 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, here's the trap that we fall into, that something new has to happen, that something more has to be given to us. And I'm just challenging you today that oftentimes you don't need something more. You don't need a check in the mail. You don't need a title. You don't need an invitation from the church. You just need to take what God's already put in you, and you need to begin to steward it for the glory of God. There's a talent that he's entrusted you. Come on. There are talents, one talent, two talents, five talents, 10 talents that he's entrusted to you already. Where are those things? Where are those seeds of greatness that God's put in your life? What are those things that God's entrusted to you? What are those things that break your heart? What are those things that move you to tears? Those things are seeds. Come on, God gives seeds. God made a tree, but now he's reproducing through seeds. And we oftentimes are looking for, we're looking for the finished product, and God's trying to show you there's a seed in your heart. And God's trying to show you to take that seed and begin to steward it, to not take it lightly and not take it casually, but begin to take it and to be intentional, to put it in the soil, put it in the right atmosphere, begin to water it, begin to trust that God will do his part as we do our part to cause some things to begin to burst forth from the seeds of potential, from the seeds of greatness that he's put in your heart, and they'll begin to spring forth. They'll begin to take root. They'll begin to bear fruit in your life. There's some seeds that he's put in your life. Come on, do you know that God made a tree, but God's never made a table I know we talk about Jesus was a carpenter and everything, but the Bible says he laid down all of his rights as deity to come and walk like a man, just like you and me, to be tempted and experience every tribulation, every temptation that was common to you and to me, right? So Jesus might have made a table as a carpenter, but do you know God's never made a table? God just made a tree. And a lot of us, we're praying for the end result. And come on, I'm talking to you about taking steps to get to the thing. What's your 10-year picture going to look like, people of God? And what are the steps that are going to be necessary for you to get there? And oftentimes we just say, well, God, this is what I want to be. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to be. And God's saying, well, you got to back up here and you got to start watering some seeds. God's never made a table. He made a tree. And then he created a group of people. That's you and that's me. And he said, now you take dominion and you be fruitful and you multiply and you take the thing that I've entrusted you with and you begin to form it. You begin to shape it. You begin to work it into the image of God. You begin to believe that things will begin to look on this earth as they are in heaven. Some of us are asking God for a table and God's answer is, here's a tree. Some of us are asking God for a harvest and God's answer is, here's a seed. We worry about the harvest, and God's just saying, start looking for the seeds that I put in you. Listen, I touched on it last week, and it bears repeating. It's been an issue for many decades in our nation, but the recent news and the recent stories in the news with that radical agenda to expand the availability of abortion, I believe there have been many of you who have wept over that news. And here's where I'm going with that. That's a seed. That's a seed. You might say, well, Pastor T, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the pain that I've been through. You don't know what I've done. Come on, I'm telling you, a lot of times the pain, the things that you've gone through aren't the things that disqualify you. That's the very place of God's promise for you. You got to hear me on this. That's a seed. That was literally Brooklyn Cole, who's a part of our church family and now is in Kenya, just went and just scratched things together and started an orphanage in Kenya. Those were her actual orphans, and that was actually her speaking in their native language while she was drinking her morning tea. And that didn't just start like that. That happened when there was a seed in her heart. I promise you, at some point, there were a lot of things she could have done. She's a smart, she's a beautiful young lady. There's a lot of places she could have gone. And a lot of things that she could have done. I'm telling you, at some point there was a seed in her heart. She started to realize and recognize that God was wrecking her heart for orphans in Africa. And I praise God for people that don't just think about it, but are willing to say, all right, God, here I am, send me. That's what I'm asking you to do. Come on, it's a small commitment. Come on, you'll get donuts twice when you come and serve. I mean, I'm just saying, come on, if she can go to Kenya and start an orphanage with hardly any resources, just a dream, just a seed, can't we show up twice on Sunday morning and make more chairs and more space available for us to reach precious people who are currently far from God and need Jesus desperately? When God gives you a seed, make the most of it. What God's put in your life, make the most of it. He wants to do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. God's part is to do the more, but your part is to ask, to think, to begin to imagine. Get that. God wants to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. He's got a part in it. His part is to do the more, but what's our part? To begin to take that seed, to begin to take that dream, to begin to take that thing that stirs in your heart. Come on, maybe it's even righteous anger towards something. Maybe it's something that causes you to weep when you see it on the evening news. It's a seed of something that God wants to do in your life. We take that seed. We begin to put it in the right atmosphere. Come on, I'm an old farm boy from Texas. And here's what I know. Before you get to the harvest, there's a long season. The harvest is a few days, but there are many months of sowing seeds and pulling weeds. And it takes focus. There's some things God wants to do in your marriage. There's some things God wants to do in your life. And in many ways, like the moment of salvation, there's some things that just change radically in your life. But then there's other things that God's going to show you something, and he's going to begin to call you to partner with him, to keep the seed watered, to keep the seed nurtured, to keep the weeds from growing in and choking out what God wants to do in your life. Come on, people of God, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let's respond. Let's respond. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Lord, we want to be faithful. We want to be those servants that you were able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to take the things that you've entrusted to us, God, that perhaps in some way we've begun to take for granted, or we've allowed the world to draw our attention away from the things that really matter to you. And God, we say in this season and through this series, Lord, we welcome you to come and to show us. We welcome you to come and remind us. We welcome you to come and reveal to us. And we say, come on, if that's your heart this morning, that you want to be found faithful, you want to be a faithful servant, you want to be a good steward, you want to make the most out of the spouse you currently have, you want to make the most out of the job you currently have, you want to make the most out of the finances he's already blessed you with, you want to make the most out of the friendships and the relationships you already have, you want to be found faithful as a good steward, would you just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, that's me. And I'm lifting my hands because I recognize I can't do it on my own strength. I'm lifting my hands because I realize I need your Holy Spirit to come and remind me of some things. I need your Holy Spirit to come and fill me in a fresh way. I need your Holy Spirit to come and convict me of some things. I need your Holy Spirit to come and strengthen me and encourage me in some things that I would not grow weary in doing good. Some of you, there's some things that you once started out on a path towards, and you once were doing well, and you were running strong, and you've laid that thing down because of discouragement and doubt. And today, the Spirit of God is here to say, pick that thing up again. Pick that seed up again, and put it back in the ground, and begin to water it and tend it and care for it until it begins to spring forth and take root and spring forward and bear fruit. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of some things. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening us. Lord, we say we want to be found faithful. In Jesus' name. Come on now, you can put your hands down. If you're here this morning, the most important thing that we do is give you an opportunity to respond to the free gift of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. The Bible talks about being born again. It's a fresh start. It's a new start. It seems radical, and it is radical, that in one moment right here, because of a confession of faith, because of something stirring in your heart and your willingness to partner with what's stirring and say with your mouth, I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I ask you to forgive my sins and make me new, that everything can become new. But it's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened in my life. It's exactly what happened in so many of the lives of the precious people who are standing next to you this morning. And come on, if that's you this morning, you've never made that commitment, or perhaps you're a prodigal son or daughter. You once knew God. You once served God, and you've drifted. But today is the day of salvation for you, and you would say, Pastor T, that's me. I want to dedicate or rededicate my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want my sins to be washed away, and I want to experience that newness of life. Come on, if that's you, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. You're lifting it before God. It's just a step of faith. It's just an act of faith. Come on, just say, that's me, Pastor T. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, one more moment. Several hands being lifted throughout this room. One more moment, if that's you. Maybe your heart is just pounding a little bit, and you just know, but you're reluctant. Come on, go all in for Jesus this morning. I promise you, you'll never be the same, and your life will change. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on now, church family, let's do what we do often, and let's show a sign of support to these precious people who had the courage to lift their hand and to make that decision. And let's pray this prayer all together. Repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you that life, and I give you my trust, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, church, say it with everything you've got. I'll never be the same. And put your hands together. Come on, with a shout of praise for what God did in the lives and the hearts of some precious people today. Come on, worship team, lead us, and then Pastor Eddie will come and dismiss us here in a minute.